Live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR, this is our weekly conversation with Mike Sando from The Athletic, brought to you by Cascade Ice. New from Cascade Ice, caffeinated sparkling water, a kick of caffeine without sugar, calories, or carbs. Now, Mike Sando on your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Cascade Ice Sparkling Water is a locally owned company in Everett, Washington. Need a caffeine kick without sugar, calories, or carbs? Grab a 16-ounce can of Cascade Ice with 160 milligrams of organic caffeine. Mike Sando drinks it by the bucket, and he now joins us here to talk some football and a lot of things to discuss. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. Let's start with last night's game. And I said this earlier in the show, and authorities didn't come to my door, so I feel safe to repeat it, even though I fear I could get arrested for this. Is there a chance that the Bengals and Browns are both on the verge of being good football teams, Mike?
That's optimistic. You know, when do really teams overcome bad ownership for the long term, right? I mean, I do think with Burrow, you've got somebody who's really talented, and so we'll see if they're able to maximize that. They've had talented quarterback play before. Carson Palmer was a number one overall pick, and after 5 or 6 years, he wanted out of there. So let's see how that goes. He certainly has the talent. Mayfield, I think, is, you know, depending on just how he meshes with the system with Kevin Stefanski, I don't think the ceiling is as high. And let's face it, he was playing the Bengals. So, you know, let's see how that one plays out over time.
The answer there, Mike, Bucky, was no. I'm wrong. That was the answer there.
I mean, they could be. Yeah, they could be. But, I mean, you know, those teams, you know.
Yeah. Mike, was there anything about last week that stood out for you, good or bad, just across the NFL, any individual teams that you thought, oh, wow, I can't believe that happened?
Well, you know, there's been optimism on Arizona in the past that isn't realized. So I thought it was a little bit validating for some of the optimism that was felt for them to go and win at San Francisco. Right? That stood out to me, which also sort of validated the idea that the 49ers, while still good, aren't going to be the type of team as dominant as they were, especially in the first half of last season. So those were a couple things that stood out. I think the quarterback play of the guys in new cities, especially Cam Newton, was interesting, but maybe not totally telling for the whole season.
Mike Sando is with us, our NFL insider from The Athletic. He has a brand new article up where he ranks the cornerbacks, the best corners in the National Football League. Did our Shaquille Griffin or Quentin Dunbar show up anywhere on your list there, Mike?
Yeah, no, we went about a dozen deep, and they weren't the ones that people in the league were talking about. You know, I think they're good in their own way. The guys at the very top of it, guys like Jalen Ramsey, Stephon Gilmore, even Patrick Peterson, are really so talented in every way that they transcend whatever scheme they're in. They don't need to play a certain way. And so I think Seattle has guys that fit great for them and are good, but time will tell if they ascend into that upper level.
Well, you did mention Gilmore, and we will be facing Gilmore this weekend. What kind of a problem does he present to the old Let Russ Cook offense that we saw on Sunday in Atlanta?
Yeah, he's really smart and really talented. You put that combination together with Bill Belichick, who I think is a decent coach. You know, I think you'd probably put him in the top 2/3 of the league, wouldn't you? That's a really good combination. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how much Seattle, is in the kitchen cooking, right? I mean, they really went extreme for them in the Atlanta game, but now you're playing a team that is better against the pass, that has good people in the secondary. Do they balance it up a little bit more, right? At the same time, I can't wait to see if Gilmore's matched up with DK Metcalf, who's such a good ascending young player, and how does it go? Isn't that how you want to measure yourself early in your career, see where you're at? Great opportunity.
It was with us, our NFL insider from The Athletic, as we talk about the Seahawks matchup against the New England Patriots this week, and obviously a lot of other fascinating things, but I don't think there's anything more fascinating than the way that these two teams came out in 2020, Mike, with their offenses. Cam Newton running the football for the Patriots in the post-Tom Brady era, and then Russell throwing two passes to every one run that they gave to their running backs against the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons, and both teams having success with that. So this has been the debate all week long. Was that a product, byproduct of the matchups that those two teams had, or do we have brand new philosophies for New England based off of brand new personnel for Seattle finally giving into this notion that, yeah, maybe we should give more to Russell and his arm?
I think we do have a shift. So for Seattle, if you go 2 years ago in 2018, they were so ridiculously run-heavy that just statistically in my studies, they were the most run-heavy team since the Tim Tebow Broncos, okay, in 2011. That was 2 years ago. Last year, they shifted. They were still, you know, towards the bottom third of the league and how much they passed the ball when the choice was really theirs, but they shifted. They were closer to the league average. I think you're going to see this season be a continuation of that shift, right? And we've seen that in Pete Carroll's comments, what he thinks about Russell Wilson's ability to handle the whole thing. They like some of their guys at receiver. For New England, no doubt, Cam Newton, you're crazy if you don't incorporate his ability to run. And you just go back to 2018 with him. Norv Turner was his new offensive coordinator. Norv Turner hadn't had a quarterback like that, so people wondered, what's he going to do? Well, Norv Turner, like Josh McDaniels, like any of these really smart coordinators, they're going to build it around the guy's skill set. So I believe in Norv Turner's first game in Carolina, Cam Newton had a similar sort of performance, right? Similar type of running. For sure New England's going to incorporate that on a regular basis as long as he's healthy.
Mike, we ended up having the newcomer, Jamal Adams, have a standout game in his first time in a Seahawk uniform. Is that something you were expecting? Can we expect to see more stuff like that? Or was that just one of the best? I mean, obviously he's still going to have good games. But is that a ceiling there? Is that exactly what we're going to see every week?
I think we're going to see that fairly regularly. You know, I was pretty confident that they were not going to be the same type of defensive style as last season when, you know, they got a lot of criticism for staying in their base defense and just sort of playing ball, right? And I think this was, you know, the number of times he rushed the passer, just the way he can affect a football game. They appear to be on the same page in terms of the personnel department giving up what they gave up and then the coaching staff's willingness to use them. So they have to be excited by that first game and looking, hey, let's do this more. And I think it's really a big deal this week because Cam Newton, for all his running in the last game, didn't really get hit. You know what I mean? There wasn't real shots on him. And that's what I'm really looking to see is, hey, can Jamal Adams affect that, right, and make him, you know, not want to run?
Mike Sando is with us, NFL insider with The Athletic. You can follow him at Sando NFL. Oh, he writes some great articles. So we appreciate him joining us. He's going to be joining us every Friday throughout the course of the season. One other thing about this local matchup, and then a couple league-wide questions to close us out with you here, Mike. The coaching matchup. I mean, boy, two guys that have just had tremendous success, maybe both Hall of Fame worthy before their coaching careers are over. We know certainly Bill Belichick's, he's locked in to that. And yet they go about their business in such a different fashion, the way that they handle players. How fascinated are you by the coaching matchup Sunday night?
Yeah, you know, a lot. I think that they're both, you know, great program builders. And for Pete Carroll, he has set ways he wants to play on both sides of the ball in addition to the type of culture he wants to have, right? And I think with Bill Belichick, he has a different culture that's maybe a little bit more fear-based culture and is changing his schemes all the time. He's run a 3-4, he's run a 4-3. They've been a wide-open pass offense. They've been a hunker-down, run-the-ball offense, and now a totally different offense with Cam Newton. So there are more than one ways to win, but I think both these guys are exceptional coaches. And for Pete Carroll, you know, I think one thing that gets overlooked is he had a winning record when he was coach of New England. I mean, his record then was good. They were winning. I don't think he had a losing record. You know, he had good records when he was there, and it's seen as a failure. Think of that. His record there is better than some of these coaches that are keeping their jobs now. So he's done it at USC. He's done it to a degree at New England. He's done it at Seattle. That's the true test to me. You know, can you do it more than one place?
Now, for those that haven't seen Mike Sando, a tall guy, wiry build. So looks like maybe he could play a little sports here and there. But let's say that 22-year-old Mike Sando got gifted with a thunderbolt for an arm and ran a 4.25 40 at the NFL Combine. And you're sitting there on draft day, and you know that Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll both want to draft you. Which guy would you rather play for?
Oh, Pete Carroll all day. You know, I just think Pete Carroll, the atmosphere is more player friendly, and it doesn't mean that it's a more successful or better way to go from a, you know, from a coaching standpoint, but certainly I think if you're a player, the freedom that you're allowed to be yourself, and it's even encouraged, right? It really makes Seattle a place that a lot of guys want to go. I think it would be even more so if Seattle wasn't so far away from where most of the players live, right? But it's been a great place, great atmosphere, and I think it's a credit to be able to do that and still win.
Let's spread out to the National Football League, but not too far from Bill Belichick, as the Tom Brady post-Belichick era began this past weekend and did not look very good. What are your thoughts on Tom Brady trying to get acclimated to Bruce Arians and his offense?
I think you're going to be okay. You know, that you're not going to play New Orleans every week. Like a few minutes ago, we were talking about, you know, can Burrow be good or Mayfield be good? Well, who you play matters, right? I mean, Mayfield looked like garbage against Baltimore, but they're really good. I think Brady had a tough one out of the gates, but wasn't horrific, right? We saw some glimpses. We saw some good throws. I don't think he's going to be, you know, elite, bring you back from 25 points down in the Super Bowl Brady. I don't think that he has, you can recreate that familiarity and system and everything he had when it was all going. I think he can still be an effective winning quarterback, and we'll see that play out over the course of the year as long as he doesn't get in a fight with Arians for talking about him in public. I think that's the most curious thing to me, is having Arians criticize him. I'm thinking, let's compare Super Bowl ring collections here, you know? Tom Brady's won a few, so that's a little bizarre to me.
How good is this NFC West, by the way? It's a little scary. I like the Rams, the Cardinals. I like the way they both looked this past weekend.
Absolutely. You know, I think people were dissing the Rams. I think people were thinking the Rams were just, you know, this team that had eroded from a talent standpoint, which there's some truth to that. But I think McVay's a good coach. I think, you know, Goff's probably better than people give him credit for. They still have some really good players, and that was a nice but not surprising to me win in the first week, and I think we could have a bunch of teams that are not going to be worse than 7-9.
Mike, thank you, man. We appreciate it. Hope you're safe. Hope you're well. You staying out of the smoke at least?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, my office is okay. Not that smoky. Yeah.
Okay, good. Very good. Don't create any of your own inside there. I don't even know if you participate in that, but let's just cut that out for a little while.
Let's just
take a break at least.
Yeah,
thank you, Mike. Mike, he only gets hopped up on Cascade Ice. We all know that. Our weekly visit with Mike Sando brought to you by Cascade Ice. If you do not want the caffeine kick, Cascade Ice is also available, by the way, in a 17-ounce bottle that is caffeine, carb, sodium, and gluten-free. So you can find these great-tasting Cascade Ice items at grocery locations throughout the Puget Sound area. All right, coming up next on our show, we'll talk a little college football before we roll into our 9 o'clock hour with Coach Holmgren and Hugh Millen, and then close it out with our predictions. But we'll talk a little college football, an update on the Pac-12 situation, and our thoughts on watching another Saturday of college football without our favorite conference. Sports Radio 950.